In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel text for this feast of St. Michael the Archangel, our Lord Jesus instructs and exhorts us to take spiritual warfare seriously. For there is only one way to enter the kingdom of heaven and thus to receive eternal life. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. This teaching of our Lord reinforces that truth which we know so well and yet can so easily forget. Not everyone will inherit eternal life. There's more to life than what we can see and observe with our senses. And so we must take the spiritual warfare that is going on all around us quite seriously. And this Feast of St. Michael, the Archangel, allows us opportunity to reflect on that and the role that the holy angels play. Our Lord also exhorts us in the gospel text to take all of this seriously so that we do not let earthly things prevent us from inheriting eternal life. For that is the purpose of all that he has done, is to bring you not just to faith in him, but to bring you to his everlasting kingdom. And so the Lord says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. These are strong words, and we might be tempted to dismiss them as merely hyperbolic and extreme. But I'm afraid our Lord is being quite serious with these words, and he's being quite literal. There is nothing in this life, not even your body, that is worth sacrificing eternity. For there is a spiritual war going on all around us, and the outcome of that war affects you, and it affects eternity. With this in mind, we'll turn our consideration primarily to the epistle text from Revelation chapter 12, where we read of the actions of St. Michael the Archangel and the angel hosts fighting the spiritual war on our behalf. We read, beginning in verse 7 of Revelation 12, that war broke out in heaven. Now, the all-important hermeneutical or interpretive question here is when. When is this war breaking out in heaven? Is this a future reality, as so much of St. John's Revelation is, a looking forward to the future, that war will break out in heaven on the last day and Satan will be thrown down and Christ will defeat him? Well, some later verses in the text seem to preclude that interpretation, because there is a warning that Satan is now prowling around the earth. And so that can't be an interpretation, or the interpretation that this is referring to the last day cannot be true, because Satan is prowling around now, and on the last day, he will be locked up in chains for eternity. Could this war breaking out in heaven then be referring to the events culminating in Genesis chapter 3, the original angelic rebellion that led to the serpent being in the Garden of Eden to tempt Adam and Eve to sin? Well, that's a problematic interpretation as well, because we hear a loud voice in this reading declaring that now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, which hadn't happened pre-Genesis 3. All that happened when our Lord Jesus came to this earth to suffer and die and rise again. And so it is that this war that broke out in heaven ought to best be interpreted as a war that broke out as a result of our Lord's work on earth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and especially his ascension, which is what is referenced in the verse immediately preceding this in Revelation 12, verse 6, which concludes a vision that John has that is continued in our text, but it is concluding the opening section where St. John sees in the heavens a woman who is with child. She gives birth to a child that the dragon wants to destroy. But the child is saved and eventually is brought up to the presence of God. This child is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. For this describes our Lord's life, that Satan was out to get him, and yet the Lord protected him so that he might accomplish his purpose of atoning for the sins of the world. And then when the Lord Jesus ascended into the heavens, this is when war breaks out. Why? Because the accuser of our brethren can no longer stand in the presence of God. We know, according to the book of Job, that Satan, prior to our Lord's coming, was able to go back and forth between heaven and earth, being in God's presence, accusing Job and others, and then coming to earth to tempt and afflict them. But now that the victorious Lamb has conquered sin, death, and the grave, now that his blood has atoned for the sins of mankind, now that he is risen from the dead and is ascended into heaven, there is no longer a place for Satan. He cannot stand before God accusing you any longer, for Christ has overcome him. Christ's blood has been shed so that your sins are atoned for, that any accusation thrown against you cannot stick anymore because you are forgiven. And so war broke out in heaven as a result of the victorious Lamb returning from his work here on earth. And we read that Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And this dragon, having been referenced earlier in chapter 12, is none other than the ancient serpent of Genesis chapter 3, the one who caused mankind to fall into sin by tempting Adam and Eve at that fateful tree. And this serpent, this dragon, is now being overcome by the angel armies, not because the angel armies have power in themselves, but because the Lord Jesus has given them power by his blood to overcome the dragon. So Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But they, the dragon and his angels, did not prevail, nor was their place found for them in heaven any longer. And so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old that is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is what is being pictured by that beautiful picture on the front of your bulletins. St. Michael, the archangel, conquering the dragon. He has been defeated. The war in heaven is over. The dragon, the deceiver, cannot stand before the throne of God any longer. Then St. John heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Satan has been overcome. This has been accomplished by Christ's death and resurrection, which have empowered the holy angels to be able to throw out those who would oppose our God out of heaven. And then we read something interesting in verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb. Could they here be referring to the angels? Actually, no. because they did not love their lives to the death. And angels can't die as men can. No, the they here is referring to the church that was spoken of earlier in the chapter. The church has overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. You have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. It's not just the angels that defeat Satan, but you, by the word and by the blessed sacrament, when you receive the blood of Christ, overcome Satan as well. For Satan has been thrown down. He prowls around like a roaring lion here on this earth, but he is on a chain. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, for Satan has been defeated. But there's more to that verse. Unfortunately, our reading cut off, but it does continue importantly to say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. The war in heaven is over, but the war on earth is not over yet. Satan does prowl around like that roaring lion seeking to devour you. But he does not have ultimate power over you, for Christ has overcome him. And yet he will still try. He will still try to overcome you. He will continue to make war against you. The devil will continue to surround you and seek you harm through whatever means possible, through lying and murder. He does this in the church. Here in the church, our highest treasure is the true doctrine, the correct use of the sacraments, and the pure grace that accompanies that. And Satan will seek at every turn to undermine those so that your comfort and consolation, your eternal salvation, may be called into question. For the devil, according to the apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the devil blinds many people to God's truth. The devil snatches the word away from those who hear it lackadaisically, according to the parable of the sower. The devil is, according to our epistle text, the accuser of our brethren. He cannot accuse you before God anymore, but he sure can accuse you in your own ear, remind you of the sins of your youth, and cause you to doubt the salvation that you have in Christ. The devil makes war against us in the state, in the civil realm as well. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that the government has been instituted in order that we might lead a quiet life. Yet Satan seeks to disrupt this by disrupting the government itself, which we see all around us. He seeks to disrupt us through other means such as famine and war and pestilence and natural disaster, as we see over and over again in the scriptures. Again, think of Job. But even more close to home, literally, Satan makes war against us in our own homes. Our Lord says at the end of today's gospel text that even children have angels to watch over them, because the devil seeks to prey upon the children just as much as he does upon the adults. He brings great wickedness upon us. And so we need the protection. We need the protection of the holy angels. As the Lord promises us in Psalm 91, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And so, my friends, we must take the spiritual warfare going on around us very seriously. But we also must not despair. For in this lies our comfort, that Christ has overcome Satan by his blood. The seed of the woman promised in Genesis chapter 3 has bruised the head of the serpent. The devil has been cast out of heaven. He cannot accuse you any longer. And though he has not been cast into the eternal abyss yet, he will be. In the meantime, he still rises up and seeks to bite the heel. But Christ is the stronger man who binds Satan. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord. And so while we must take the devil seriously, we also remember that he is bound, he is on a chain. And when we resist and fight against him with the blood of the Lamb received in the sacraments and the word of the testimony received in the scriptures, when we fight against Satan with those means, he cannot bring us harm as he wishes. For wherever the devil seeks to devour us, there the good angels encamp against him. And so we pray, Lord, may the angels who behold your glorious face in heaven guard and protect us until Satan is defeated and the war on earth is finally ended. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.